Thank you. My topic today is why past lives. And you know, it's funny, I'm sitting here and I had a rough idea what I was going to talk about. I always speak for the people that are here. And I think it changed every time something was said or known. And then I look out there and see snow falling. And yeah, so it's going to change again probably. Why past lives? What is such a hoopla, or why is that we would put so much importance on them? And that's because they're important. That's why. I'm sure you're all aware that are here that you all have personal programs, that you all act a certain way at certain times, correct? We can't ever agree really with that. If you don't, well, listen, because it's true. That's what makes us also individualistic at times when we're not automatons or if you're watching the new TV show Almost Human, this whole series of whatever they are.
They just are all of the same.
Because we're not all the same. We're unique. We have different fingerprints. We look different. Some of us might be similar. But we're different. So what makes us different? So I'm going to talk about a couple of things. I'm going to talk about your soul. Because you can't talk about past lives and soul. I don't really have time to also talk about the death process, which I'm very... I think is important for us to know about, because that's a large part of it as well. But I do want to talk about the soul and the importance of why past lives are. So I'm going to tell you a story about me. Surprise, surprise. But I started my journey a lot of years ago, and I was a well accomplished by that time tarot card reader, and I happened to be reading and working, teaching, etc. at a bookstore, metaphysical bookstore, that is. And they would bring in different teachers, just like I'm often going into places to speak and teach. We had this lady come through called Marcia Moore, who'd written a book called Hypersentience. Now, what she had done was basically take the way that people hypnotize people back in the past lives, written it up in a book, so they're saying that anyone can do this, which is true, anyone can do this. And I just happened to go to her workshop, which is a whole story in itself, by the way, which I will not wait with today, and find out that, yes, I could visualize these past lives. At that point, I did not necessarily believe they were true or not. Except my first experience did help convince me that there was something to this, because, let's face it, as a woman, I wanted to be rich, famous, with lots of jewels. And of course, dashing young men around. Instead, I find myself a very disgruntled young man. How wonderful our subconscious is sometimes. They need to convince you of something. Then the second regression I did, I went to Africa. Africa? I'm not even interested in Africa at that time. What am I doing in Africa? So again, another thing that I was telling myself, there's some relevance. Now, I studied with some other teachers as well and learned some techniques and began lecturing on the topic because I did a lot of past lives by myself and began to discover a whole lot of different things. And then I had a breakthrough. I began to recognize it wasn't just important to go what I call sightseeing. We can all go sightseeing. The importance was what was happening at the end of that last life. What was it that was unresolved? What was it that we brought forward with us? And one of the ways I began to take a look at this is because by that time I was producing large psychic fairs in the Pacific Northwest, and I quite often would sit to move people more through, have them get something, because sometimes when they didn't all come in with money to have for reading. And I would just take a look into their eyes, and I don't do this anymore, by the way. I'd look into their eyes and I could see their last life before they came in here. And I could see a lot of different things, but I began to put things together. I have been blessed with the ability to take different things and pull them together and make a concept out of them. And I began to realize that, hey, these lives, it's not just a journey to go back and say, oh, I was this, that, and the other, and I did this, and I did that. was. In this life, whenever we experience a feeling, I'm going to say that again. Whenever we experience a feeling, we reach back in our memory banks and we remake the same decision that we made the last time we had the feeling. I'll repeat it because it's important to get. Every time we experience a feeling, we reach back in our memory banks and recreate the same decision that we made the last time we felt the feeling. So where do we go when we're little? Where do we go when we're in the womb and we hear our parents don't want us? Where do we go when all of a sudden the mother's full of fear because she has to give birth and the embryo again is feeling the fear? Where do we go when we're 6 months old and they don't come with your food in quick enough? Happened to me. I was 9 months actually, but anyway. Where do we go? We go inside to our past lives and we remake the decision we made the last time we experienced it. That's why past lives are important. Because if you can go back and you can clear those previous decisions, we can come into this life and clear them easily. A lot of work is done in this life. I mean, I've got lots of techniques, lots of tools where we go back in and we clear. But if we don't get the root, if we don't get where that originally happened, and that original decision was made, maybe say, I'm not good enough. Common theme in my life. And then my mother, I came along with my sister before me, it was nearly 16 years, can you imagine? All of a sudden you find yourself pregnant. Not planned at all. So what's the first thought that's going to be? Oh my goodness. Now I don't really know this for true, that's happened to me, but I do know, I've done enough work with people to know this does happen. And I can imagine my mother had a bit of a freak out. And if my soul that is coming in forgets its connection to source, because really it's all about that. Whether you call it God or Muhammad, divine love, I don't care. It's a source energy from which you came, which I'll talk about eventually. If you have not stayed connected to that, and your mother has this thing, oh my goodness, I'm praying, what am I going to do with this? I'm not good enough, it's going to come up. They don't want me. Actually, I did battle that for a lot of years. I don't know whether that's where it came in, actually, but I had to battle that thought process because it was my bottom line. My intellectual bottom line, I'm not good enough. And the other one will be on my livable, the emotional line. That blur when they really make that clear to me. Now, so when we go through a positive regression, or the work I do today, which is our transformational clearance, we go back as far as we need to on all these different systems that I know about to clear. We're looking to clear and get those decisional points. The belief structures that you put in place. Oh yeah, by the way, you've heard a lot, I'm sure, about belief structures, correct? Mm-hmm. You are your belief structures. Anyone tell you where they came from? I am going to tell you. They come from the decisions you make. Because in the decision that you make are your beliefs. So it's all tied in. Your soul, your decisions, your beliefs. And then they get out-pictured into your life. And then as they get out-pictured into your life, just like the snow coming on down there, and a little chunky dog talking quite happily along there, is that we carry on. And we do the best we can. Now let's put that to one side for a moment and go back and let me tell you what I found out about soul. Not that long ago, actually, I realized I have the ability to be able to follow a person's soul back in time and space. So I decided to go back as far as I could. And there's a few people sitting here, which I've done this for. I call them soul origin readings. And we go back through various different places, planets, spaces, whatever it takes, to when the soul absolute pure beingness. It's not love and like we think, oh, it's not that. It's, there's no stress. There is nothing. There is nothing. This is what got me, first of all. There is nothing. Except, to me, in my eye, it's like this little drop of effervescent energy of being. And I really got that whole element of being. And then and I usually trace the energy back, and I get to this place. And I'm so filled at that moment with the pure joy, absoluteness of life. And then we bring that essence back through time and space, transforming the energies to the present. Does that mean that forever you're whatever? No, because you still have other stuff. But it does mean that you have a linkage in line to that absolute beingness of who you are. And a reminder that when we say the word God, or we say whatever word you want to use for that, that is real. You came from somewhere that was pure life. And you sprang into being like a drop of milk from a nipple in a way. It didn't have a nipple on it, by the way. It just has this energy bubble that I see. So what happens to that soul? Does it only come into human form? I haven't read into that yet. They've gone to different planets, some nice, some not so nice. I know that one person gave me a book to read on some things, and my experience is being a bit different than theirs, and that may be because my experience has a certain belief structure about it, so we tend to recreate our belief structures. But I do know that once we come to Earth, now I have talked on this before, that people arrive on Earth for various reasons, not just because all of a sudden we're here. That happens to some people. Some people get left here because they're space travelers, and some people get sent here for various reasons. Why here? Why Earth? Now again, I've spoken on this many times. This is an emotional planet. Not all planets are emotional. This planet is. When we come into our body, we have to learn how to deal with all these feeling things. You know, it's been years to figure that out. I was sicker in my head, so I just had a client just the other day. Beautiful energy, understands spirituality, but all mental. So she all has this theory, but how does it work in a practical way? I think I have her convinced to come to my Wednesday night group, because that's one reason we work on Wednesday nights, is to just slowly get how to live your life in a more effective way. And again, some of you are here that come and I would love to see you there. So let's go back now. You in this one. When you go back to see yourself in another time and place, you can be drawn to a different era of a planet. I'm sure some of you do, like the older time and space. I know I was born in Egypt. I know I was in Egypt. I know I was in England. Some of my most interesting ways of remembering past lives have come when I've been traveling. See, I've done so many calls I couldn't even tell you about. And I've written up some in my book that were the most about my journey. Because, you know, I was told, requested from, will you please write a past life regression book? And every time I sat down to write it, it would come. There was words that had no depth, that had nothing. I just thought I'd scrap it. And one day, right before I was heading for Regina, actually, I'm sitting in my chair watching TV, and this voice says, you write your past life regression book like this. The next day, sitting in the Kelowna airport, flight delayed an hour, I bought a notebook, a pen, and sat there and started writing. I wrote through waiting for the rip get on the airplane. I wrote on the airplane. That's how I write a lot of my books first. I get everything down, kind of longhand. And then we go into the computer and do what I always say writing is. And I talked about my journey in this book, about how I learned through a different technique. One was mine. It came out of the blue one day when I needed to. And what happened? Some of the interesting things that I experienced was this. Most of it, I've gone inside, know how to take myself back, went back, saw myself, knew the most important part of the end, got all that information, transformed that, transformed the energy of that in this life. I, you know, hundreds of them, right? How do you think I'm such this glorious person you see now? I just wish it was that easy. But it's a lot of part of it, believe me. I always say when people study with me, there's three things we look at. To identify something, to transform it, and then reintegrate it back into present, and then your energy. So, yeah, did lots of this. But then a couple of things happened. One of them was in England. I went on a women's spiritual journey with my prosperity teacher at the time in Twin Gates. Myself and my friend Holly, we're on a trip off there, and off we go. Our first stop on this is at Avebury. So she decides to go one way and I decide to go the other, and it was a big place. There's lots of rocks, big rocks here and there. Not like Stonehenge, it's different than Stonehenge. So I come up to this little rocks, maybe stand, they spent a foot, this lucky, but kind of semicircle. And no kidding, at that point I wasn't like super sensitive. I'm just regular, I was kind of regular. But I went to walk into this, I step over these stones to go into the center, and I could not. I was not permitted. I don't know how to explain that. I just could not get my foot over that thing. So I went, oh, all right. So I went wandering down and went down what they call the avenue. Big, two big things of rocks, the avenue. Well, I come to the end of the avenue because there's a fence there. So I take my raincoat off, lay on the ground, and go into kind of regression. The next thing I know, I'm walking down this avenue in a beautiful white muslin dress, and people are waving palm fronds at me, and at that moment I went, palm fronds in England? This was 1 year ago. Just found out, you said Europe, it was. Palm trees in England at one time. And in front of me are these priestesses with this beautiful blue, which I have since learned they used to dye out of a berry, in their hands, and I'm being initiated. Talk about Avalon stuff, right? And I go through this whole initiation process lying on the ground. And I get up, and no kidding, every one of those rocks on the way back, I touched them, and it gave me a one word of all sorts of things that was integrated into me. And when I came back, I would step into that semicircle, because that's where the initiates went. Now, because I said, you know, what big deal would that do? A lot for me. Because it integrated a lot of different spiritual principles. It opened up a memory valve that I had of another time and space where I was a disciple of feminine energy. So okay, years go by again, and I go and visit a friend in southern France. Interestingly enough, the same friend that I was on the spiritual pilgrimage, she's now living in the southern France, little village. And we go off on a journey to this big castle, Cassiano, I think it is. Terrible accent I have on everything. And it's very early. We left early. And we got there before everything started opening up. They were setting up the cafes. And there's a hill that goes up in this court. And at the top is a church. I love churches. People who know me know I love churches. I love speaking in churches. Probably a dream is to have my own one day. I could just sit there. Or at least I'd speak in the shirt. So we start trudging up this hill. I'm a little ahead of my daughter was with me. So I have my friend and my daughter yakking away behind me. And I'm trudging up the hill. And this is the first and only time this ever really happened. I walked into a life. I walked into a life where I was going up this hill wielding a sword. And I actually didn't catch that first of all, I missed it. I turned around to the girls and I said, do you know, we forget how rotten everything smelled back then. The scent was putrid. Rotten garbage, rotten whatever. Who knows? Just use your imagination. Sanitations weren't great back then. And I realized, the next thing I realized is I'm going up this mountain, swinging this sword. That was a heavy sword, as you know, the way you're around. So I'm fighting my way up this hill, and I go, oh my God, I'm fighting my way up the hill. Oh my God, I don't make it. Well, first of all, it's the only time I've ever accessed a past life through smell. Smelling is not my best read everything and I was fine. The girls actually got me sat down at a cafe which wasn't open, but this lovely waitress bought me a cup of coffee, which I was still drinking then. And I was able to sit there. Well, they went off shopping, right? I'm not going to worry about Norma, she's fine. And they went off shopping, but I did the kind of the integrational work that I do to clear all that, all the energy of traumatic energy that I had. Sometimes that past life I'm not just going to get by going and looking because there's no relevancy there.
So we have time, we've got time to tell you one.
The third one was something. And if you ever, I just want to just mention something. If you ever read my Connected to the Light book, I have in there a metaphor of the pickle jar. And I talk about how at the very end there's all these little flecks in the pickle jar, all these little lifetimes that are still there. And this was how I found one of those little fragments, which I don't believe I would ever have gotten if this hadn't happened in my life. I had a second husband who, bless his heart, became a Sikh, a white Sikh, I guess you call him. And on his journey of becoming a Sikh, I would question everyone, and they kept saying, you don't know where you're going. And this question kept coming up, and I didn't catch it. Normally I would catch if something irritates me, or it was like irritating, but that I've got a little energy on it, you know, I would get me, you know? I didn't get it. Anyway, one day he went down to Portland where they used to do these weekend things. And he had a beautiful outfit and everything. Lovely. He looked great at it, actually. But anyway, Karen heard him coming in with the truck and I was already in there. I had actually done a chakra workshop that weekend, but it was something anyway. So I did a chakra workshop. I was doing really good. And the truck came in and he got out of that truck wearing a white turban, and I freaked out. I sat in a jacket and sat on my bed. I had pain in my chest right here. I was hyperventilating. I was like a mess, to be honest. And I knew then something's not right with this picture. So I only came and I said, just take the turban off, please. So I took the turban off. And the next morning, I lived in White Rock area, and you know there's a big seawall there. And I got down. It was kind of not very nice morning. I remember walking along, and I'm concentrating on the feeling I had in my chest. Because I knew that it was such an abnormal reaction for me. And as I walk along, hearing, I heard. First of all, I heard the horses. Horses galloping over a hard plain of ground. Galloping, boom, boom, boom. And then it came into a picture. Now, anybody has told us, if we hear sound, there's a little sort of picture and a feeling. If we hear smell, there's all the rest of the other senses are in. It's all there. You just got to stay with it for a bit. I know this. So I'm staying with the sound, and next thing it comes in, and I'm looking at this width of khaki turbaned soldiers with their knives out coming into this little village. I'm a little Indian, East Bengal, what do you call this Indian girl? At about 8 years old. And they come in and they wipe the village out, except there wasn't wiped out, full survivor's guilt. What happens is the guys who are the soldiers got down from their horses, and one of them, see, I don't know why they didn't stab me, but he hit me with the butt of his rifle here, where that pain was, and I fell behind those big, large rattan things they had to put stuff in. So they thought I was dead. I was knocked out from here. Probably not really, whatever. Well, when I came to, everybody was dead. And then eventually I was taken to another village and raised there. And so there was some stuff that had to be cleared up about that. But you see, that flip, that little piece would not have occurred at all because I had friends that were Sikhs. I've been around people with turbans. But it was someone who was close to me wearing a turban is what treated them. Not that I like ways to help them all as turbans and so for many years. He wore a turban. In fact, I'll take somebody from me. We went to one of my students was a Muslim who married a Sikh. And we went to her wedding. And my English-born husband was the only one there with a turban. And all the women from Toronto with their short black hair were coming over to find out what he was doing wearing a turban. So because we want to get to those decisions that were made in the last life. So we connect with source, we can let all that go. It's the moment of death that's important. That might happen in the middle, but I mean, that's okay. It's that moment of death. What are you carrying with you? What are your resentments? What are your angers? What are you deciding about yourself? What are you deciding about that guy that just put the knife in you? All those things are important. But if you clear them there, and then find where in your body, in this life, you are holding onto that energy, then you can clear that from here. And you connect it more back with source. So anytime you clear those blocks, you can become whole and complete. And you begin to do yourself growth. So if you find yourself stuck, really stuck, and you went, oh, I've done all this work and I'm doing everything, remember, it may be something that is coming from before that is still not resolved. But it's still not taking place. There's many different things to be able to figure and work out. And I'll tell you, it's fun. And I'm just going to say before I go that I have on the back side table over here a thing, but and on March the 15th from 2 to 5, I'm going to do a workshop, probably in my home, depending on the numbers, but on my home. And I'm putting on a special price for you guys, so if you want to come, so you can register for that if you would like. But past life is a great fun. It's one of the workshops that they're asked for the most. Because you get to see who you were, and then you get to heal. You get to transform. You get to integrate yourself, connect to source, and become more of who you truly are. And that's what I wish for each one of you to be more. I'm happy with you, because that's the most important. God bless you. Thank you.